Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Grand Minstrel Show.
I wish I was in the land of cotton, old times there, not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixieland, I'll make my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for the sea. It rained all night today, I left the weather, it was dry. The sun's so hot, it froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Our boys will shine tonight, all down the line. Our boys will shine tonight, our boys will shine. When the sun goes down and the moon comes up, our boys will shine. Oh, hand me down.
Gentlemen, be seated. Well, good evening, Mr. Bones, and how's everything today?
Good evening, Mr. Interlocutor. Why, I feel like the luckiest man alive.
Oh, really? And what makes you feel so lucky this evening?
Well, just this afternoon, I caught 45 of the most beautiful fish you ever saw.
Is that so, Mr. Bones? Well, see this badge right here?
Uh-huh. I see it real good, Mr. Interlocutor.
Well, Mr. Bones, this badge means that I'm the county fish and game warden.
Uh-oh. You see this badge here, Mr. Interlocutor?
I see your badge very well, Mr. Bones.
Well, this badge means that I'm the biggest darn liar in this county.
Ah, and a very good evening to you, Mr. Roscoe.
And the same to you, Mr. Interlocutor.
You know, Roscoe, I've noticed you seem to be putting on a little weight these days.
Well, what do you think I should do about it?
If I may suggest it, I believe you should do some exercises.
Really? What type would you suggest?
Well, I'm a firm believer that swimming is the best exercise in the entire world for keeping a slim and trim figure.
Is that so?
Why, Roscoe, you sound as though you don't believe me that swimming is the very best exercise for keeping a slim and trim figure.
Oh, I believe you, all right. But did you ever take a good look at a duck?
And now our handsome golden-voiced tenor will render some of the most ear-caressing notes ever to waft through this magnificent auditorium. Gentlemen, if you please.
I love you truly, truly, dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tear. Save love. and joy I see. Speak to me in accent sweet. I find the roses waking round my feet, and I am led through tears and joy to thee, because you speak. Cherish thee through light and darkness, through all time to be, and pray his love may make our love divine, because
Mr. Bones, wasn't that something of real enjoyment? And speaking of enjoyment, how did you enjoy your recent vacation?
Ooh, not so much. I'm afraid I could use another one already.
Why, how's that?
I really don't know. I guess I'm still tired.
Well, where did you go on your vacation, Mr. Bones?
To Atlantic City, Mr. Interlocutor.
And where did you stay in Atlantic City?
The John Bertram.
The John Bertram? Why, that isn't in Atlantic City. It's in Philadelphia.
No wonder I got so tired walking to the beach.
By the way, Mr. Bones, how's your cousin Charlie these days?
He's not feeling too well. He made himself quite sick by worrying.
Oh, that's too bad. And what made him worry so much?
He was afraid he was going to wind up in jail.
Why, how silly of him to think that he'd wind up in jail.
Oh, but he's much better now. He doesn't worry about it anymore.
Well, that's good to hear. How was he cured?
He wound up in jail.
Well, after that, Mr. Bones, I suggest you have a seat for yourself while our gallant, twinkle-toed practitioner of soft shoe dancing displays his terpsichorean talents to the accompaniment of our extremely versatile musical troubadours. Say, Mr. Roscoe, there's something that's puzzling me.
What's that, Mr. Interlocutor?
Well, I received a letter from your brother this morning, and his stationery identifies him as an undertaker.
That's absolutely correct. That's what he is.
But didn't you once tell me that he was a doctor?
Oh, I never said a thing like that, Mr. Interlocutor.
But I'm almost positive you did, Mr. Roscoe.
I'm sorry, Mr. Interlocutor, but you must have misunderstood me. All I said was that my brother followed the medical profession.
By the way, Mr. Roscoe, how is that magnificent Persian cat of yours?
Well, quite fine, thank you.
Does his awful meowing still keep your neighbors awake at night?
Oh, no, I took care of that. I had him tuned.
And how is your charming wife these days?
Just wonderful. In fact, she often compares me with Adonis.
With Adonis? Why, there's no comparison between you and Adonis.
Yeah, that's what she says. But, Mr. Interlocutor, do you know something? My wife's offered to give me $5,000 if I give up all my bad habits.
Why, that sounds like a very intelligent proposition on her part.
Yes, but I don't know what to do about it.
Don't know what to do about it? Why, take the $5,000, of course.
Yeah, but how am I going to spend it if I have no bad habits?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, our wizards of vocal harmony shall blend their deep, rich voices in some favorite melodies of yours and mine.
In the evening by the moonlight, you can hear those folks singing. In the evening by the moonlight, you can hear those banjos ringing. How the old folks would
Mr. Bones, may I inquire as to how your business is these days?
Just fine, Mr. Interlocutor. We're finally in the black.
Good, Mr. Bones. Now you can throw out that dreadful bottle of red ink and buy yourself a bottle of black.
Oh, I'm afraid not, Mr. Interlocutor.
Well, I don't understand, Mr. Bones.
Well, I'm just afraid that if I ran out and bought a bottle of black ink, we'd be right back in the red again.
By the way, Mr. Bones, wasn't your partner in some trouble with the law recently?
Oh, the judge let him go scot-free.
Oh, how did that ever happen?
Because, Mr. Interlocutor, he's deaf.
But what has that got to do with it, Mr. Bones?
Why, didn't you know? You can't convict a man without a hearing.
Incidentally, Mr. Bones, have you ever had a run-in with the law?
Uh-uh, not me.
Have you ever been involved in an accident?
Uh-uh, not me.
You mean to tell me, Mr. Bones, that you never had a single accident in all your life?
Well, not really, except for one day last summer when I was out in the fields and a bull tossed me right over the fence.
Well, don't you call that an accident?
Uh-uh, that bull did it on purpose.
By the way, Mr. Bones, I see that your cold sounds much, much better today.
It should be. I practiced on it all night.
And now for a delightful, rare treat. We call upon our whistling soloist, whose exquisite tones match those of Mother Nature's own mockingbird. Mr. Roscoe, I was quite ashamed of the letter you sent me the other day.
Why? What was wrong with it, Mr. Interlocutor?
You didn't spell one word correctly.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Interlocutor, but I spell by ear, and sometimes my hearing's not so good.
By the way, Mr. Roscoe, is this a picture of you?
Yes, sir, that's me.
Why, that's bad grammar, Mr. Roscoe.
I know it. But it's a bad picture.
Now, Mr. Roscoe, I know for a fact that you're brighter than that. And I'd like to prove it by asking you a few questions.
Very well, Mr. Interlocutor.
Now, Mr. Roscoe, if I cut off your right ear, what would happen?
Well, Mr. Interlocutor, I just wouldn't be able to hear out of my right ear.
Absolutely correct. Now, if I cut off both your ears...
I couldn't see.
Now, you're jesting, Mr. Roscoe. Please answer me correctly. If I cut off both your ears, what would happen?
I just wouldn't be able to see.
Now, what makes you say that, Mr. Roscoe?
Well, because my hat would fall down over my eyes.
Incidentally, Mr. Roscoe, how did you ever manage to get home after the big party last night?
Well, it was rather hard sledding.
Oh, how's that?
There wasn't any snow.
And now, for lovers of the exhilarating sound of the strings of the banjo, let's bring forth our specialists of that wonderful instrument.
Oh,
Say, Mr. Bones, you haven't mentioned your Aunt Agnes to me lately.
Oh, you mean the one whose tongue is like a hummingbird?
Now, why do you say your Aunt Agnes's tongue is like a hummingbird, Mr. Bones?
Just because I've never been able to catch either one, not in motion.
Now, Mr. Bones, that's not a nice way to talk about your aunt, especially since she just recently became a widow.
Oh, I guess you're right, Mr. Interlocutor.
And her husband mentioned you in his will, didn't he?
He sure did, but I wouldn't care to repeat what he said.
You know, Mr. Bones, you deserve a real spanking for that last remark.
Uh-oh. Don't talk to me about spankings.
And why not, Mr. Bones?
I can remember my first spanking and every one of them since.
Oh, then you were spanked before.
I've been spanked as far back as I can remember.
By the way, Mr. Bones, how's your insomnia these days?
I'm still having trouble falling asleep, Mr. Interlocutor.
Then, what do you do when you can't get to sleep?
Why, I just sip on a large glass full of rum.
Oh, really? And does that put you to sleep?
No, but it sure makes me satisfied to stay awake.
Incidentally, Mr. Bones, is it true that Mr. Harvey's wife has left him?
She sure has.
Well, you can tell him for me, Mr. Bones, that he shouldn't let it get him down. Tell him he should try to get some sleep. And if he's having your trouble not being able to sleep, tell him to try counting sheep.
He can't. He's too busy counting his lucky stars.
And now I take great pleasure in presenting our debonair bass soloist in an offering of sheer mellowness.
Gone are the days when my heart was young and gay. Gone are my friends from the cotton fields away. Gone from the earth to a better land I know. I hear their gentle voices calling, old Black Joe, I'm coming, for my head is bending low. Gentle voices calling, old Black Joe.
Put on the skillet, put on the lead. Mammy's gonna bake a little shortening bread. That ain't all she's going to do. Mammy's gonna make a little coffee too. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Three little chillin' lying in bed. Two was sick and the other most dead. Sent for the doctor said, feed those chillin' on shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread. Mammy's little baby loves shortening, shortening. Mammy's little baby loves shortening bread.
I noticed that you were in your garden doing some planting the other day, Mr. Roscoe.
That's right, sir.
And what were you planting?
A dogwood tree.
Oh, so you expect to raise a litter of puppies, eh?
No, sir. I just like to hear it bark.
Now, let's stop being foolish, Mr. Roscoe, because we both know that you already have a dog. By the way, what kind of a dog is that?
He's a police dog.
A police dog? Certainly doesn't look like one to me.
Well, of course he doesn't, Mr. Interlocutor. He's in the Secret Service.
Well, regardless of what you say, Mr. Roscoe, he's still a very funny-looking dog.
Funny-looking? I'd like you to know that I paid $500 for that dog. He's part terrier and part bull.
Oh? Which part is bull?
The part about the $500.
By the way, Mr. Roscoe, did anything unusual happen at the lodge meeting last night?
Well, the boys were talking about being true to one's wife, and the president offered a blue robe to any member who could stand up and honestly say that he'd never kissed any woman but his wife during his married life.
Sounds most interesting.
And do you know what happened? Not a single man stood up.
Why didn't you stand, Mr. Roscoe?
Well, you know I don't look so good in blue.
And now the time has come for us to bring our grand minstrel show to an end. And this we shall do with a rousing medley of music and song.
I'm laid away, 'cause I don't expect to wear them till my wedding day. And my long-tailed coat that I love so well, I will wear up in the chariot in the morn. And my long white robe that I bought last June, I'm going to get changed, 'cause if it's too soon. And the old gray horse that I used to drive, I will hitch up in the chariot in the morn. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, them golden slippers, golden slippers I'm going to wear, because they look so neat. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, golden slippers, I'm gonna wear to walk the golden street. The sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. 'Tis summer, the old folks are gay. The corn tops rise.
Sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are happy to present for your pleasure and entertainment the original Medallion Minstrels, featuring a distinguished cast of stellar performers and the world-renowned Medallion Minstrel Man, Mr. Leader, the Overture, if you please.